instruct him more accurately. More accurately, what does that mean? Well, more precisely. It's a very important word, accurately. The church in America today, inaccurate. They've broken out of the norm of what the scripture says. This word is so important to strict conformity to the norm, to the standard of the word of God. Because so many churches have gone off. Strange doctrine, strange fire that has come into the church, and it's happened ever since I've been a Christian. I've seen it. It's been wrong. You see, we need to hold fast to the word of God.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 18 with a message titled Mighty in the Scriptures.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Fervent in spirit. Oh, so powerful there. And that term means to be boiling over or bubbling over in your enthusiasm for the Lord. It's enthusiastic fervor for the Lord. And I think that drew a lot of attention. When you see people that are fervent or enthusiastic for certain things, like the Word of God, and a lot of people are enthusiastic for things that, you know, are passing away with time. But for the Word of God, great example that Apollo says, even with the limited knowledge that he had, he was just bubbling over with that enthusiastic fervor. You know, later Paul writes to the Romans. I don't know if he was thinking about Apollos and Apollos's fervor for the Lord, or just Paul just knew that you needed to have that zeal for the Lord. He writes to the Romans, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I know Paul along the way, he picked up a lot of that. He saw people like Apollos, but he saw others that were kind of slothful. You know, and so he writes that, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It seems like today we've become fervent in business and slothful in the spirit, serving ourselves. Boy, we've got to change that, don't we, folks? I pray that this new year, this new decade, it would change that if you can identify more with fervent in business, slothful in spirit, serving ourselves. But turn it around. Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. So it's not only your secular life, but it's your spiritual life. They're balanced out and they're moving forward. Well, he goes on and he ends off here, verse 26 on, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. That's Apollos. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So he was talking about salvation, the way of God, but he didn't have the full scope of it. Verse 27. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. One of the things that you'll note, it's kind of almost stealth, and you could pass over it very easily. Remember when they went on their first missionary journey in chapter 13, where the Lord said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. puts Barnabas first, Barnabas the leading guy. But then as that missionary journey goes on, Saul's name is changed to Paul. And then you find Paul and Barnabas. From here on out, it's always Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, because he's the leading one in, you know, leading personality there. He's the leader. And so when you see Aquila and Priscilla, we were introduced to them by Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila, the husband, Priscilla, the wife. But it's interesting, as you read the scriptures, you're going to find that reversed. Priscilla and Aquila. Quite often, the wife can take on a more spiritual role than the husband. And it seems to be the case here. Priscilla takes the lead. Oh, does it mean that Aquila was not the head? Oh, he is. Yeah, he's the head of the family there. The Bible tells us that, and I know they knew the scripture. But as somebody said, the husband is the head, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. And sometimes that's so true, because the wife has a lot more wisdom, a lot more depth than many husbands. And so here, it seems as though she takes the lead. But let me caution you here, because sometimes we get in the church, we get things out of sync. She's taking the lead here privately, you know, sharing with Apollos. Aquila's there as well, but she's, you know, really just kind of laying things out. I love it when my wife, you know, because my wife is a very spiritual, deep lady, and I will have her say, you need to talk to my wife about this when it deals with different issues, because she's so good to talk to there. And maybe that's what Aquila said at this point. Hey, Priscilla, you take the lead in this, because you've really been studying this and share with him that. God does not restrict women from any area of ministry, except one. They can be the head of the children's ministry. They can be the head of the worship ministry. They could be the chief administrator. They can run every aspect of the church except the pastoral role. That's one of the things that God has restricted there. Scripture denies the woman the pastoral role over the congregation. You see that in 1 Timothy 2. You can look at it on your own. This isn't a study of that, but just mentioning here Priscilla taking the lead, I just want you to know that God denies the woman the pastoral role. 1 Timothy 2, 12 to 14, you can read it on your own, but Paul says, I do not allow a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man. And then he says, why? And that would be a pastoral role, because he always speaks of the pastoral role in the masculine pronoun. And he says, why? Because of creation order. The man was created first, then the woman. Because of the fall, it wasn't the man that was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell into transgression. 1 Timothy 2, 12 to 14. Then 1 Corinthians 11, 3 and 7. Also headship. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. The head of the wife, the woman. Glory. Man is the image and glory of God. The woman is the glory of man. And that all depends upon our submission and obedience to the scripture. The man is the glory of God if he follows the scriptures, if he's submissive. The woman is the glory of the man. She really reflects the glory of the man if she is obedient and follows scripture. And so that's the only thing it restricts the woman from. But here, notice Priscilla and Aquila privately instruct Apollos. But she's the leading one here. Important. Don't restrict yourself, ladies. You can speak up. Feel free to speak up. I love it when the ladies speak up. They have great, great insight. But it's just not in a pastoral role. But notice they instruct him more accurately. More accurately. What does that mean? Well, more precisely. That's what that term means, accuracy or accurately, thoroughness. and it has the characteristic of exactness, pinpoints that. You see, that I'm more of a general guy. My wife is exact, pinpoints things, exact. Hun, I asked you to vacuum the floor and you missed that hair over there on the carpet. What? You see that? I didn't even see that, so I go over and vacuum it again. She's accurate there. But then I get the bill from Macy's, and I go, what is this bill from Macy's, hun? She goes, oh, wait, I can't see it. Got to get my glasses later. But she is very pointed, very accurate on things. And women can be that way. Very important. So the exactness. And in addition to that, it is also the idea here, because it's a very important word, accurately. It's strict conformity to the norm, to the standard of Scripture. What I'm going to do in the next coming weeks, and if you want to stick around after service, we're going to show a video. It's a 58-minute video. It's the church in America today. And you're going to see how inaccurate and how they've broken out of the norm of what the Scripture says. And I think I'm going to do that on a Sunday, probably after the second service. If you want to stick around, you can do so. Because going into what is a Calvary on Wednesday night for the next four times, I think it'll be very beneficial for you. Because this word is so important to strict conformity to the norm, to the standard of the Word of God. So important. Because so many churches have gone off. I just read in the paper the Methodist Church. Now they've made a split. They're ordaining homosexual pastors and same-sex marriage is okay in one segment of the Methodist Church. The others, you know, they're holding true to the Scripture. But you see, that's what's happening. Not just that, but other strange doctrines, you know, strange fire that has come into the church. And it's happened ever since I've been a Christian. I've seen it. It's been wrong. You see, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. And so that's what they're doing with Apollos, really accurately the Word of God. There's also, let me mention this as well, there is also an ethnical part to the word which deals with behavior, the norm of our behavior as Christians. It focuses on careful attention regarding the dangers of being deceived by the continual and constant attacks by the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world not only wants to draw you into aberrant kind of doctrine, but aberrant kind of lifestyles that really cause the enemies of God to blaspheme. If that's what a Christian's like, I don't want anything to do with it. You see, so that's what it's dealing with. Now, Apollos, he was instructed in these things, and he was ignorant, I believe, of the one major thing, because as we go on, we'll talk about it. Next week, we'll talk about it even more. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are three terms that deal with the Holy Spirit's relationship to us. The Holy Spirit being with us, or that Greek term is para. The Holy Spirit is here right now. The third person of the Godhead. He's here right now. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows what's going through our mind. He knows our lifestyles. He's here with us. Some go, oh, that's a scary thing. No, it's not. It's not, unless you're trying to pull the wool over God's eyes. You know, you want to do your own thing. But you see, he's here to woo or draw people to Jesus Christ. And then when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Lord comes into our heart. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. He comes in us. The Greek word is en or in. And then that third relationship is the thing that Apollos didn't quite understand, is the epi, or the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember when Jesus breathed in, literally in, the disciples said, receive ye the Holy Spirit after he resurrected? I believe the Holy Spirit came into them at that point. And then he said, tarry in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, for the Holy Spirit will come upon a P. So that second blessing of the Holy Spirit, not just in you as a believer in Christ going to heaven, but now upon you to be a powerful witness for Christ. And I believe that Apollos didn't understand that, and that is what Priscilla and Aquila instructed him in, as Aquila and Priscilla followed Paul around and saw that work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see it as Paul moves to Ephesus. He spends 3 years in Ephesus. That is a long time, the longest time we know of, that he spends teaching believers there. And so we're going to see that the next time. And I think that's what was lacking in Apollos' preaching, that whole doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit coming upon a person in power. And we'll look at that more thoroughly next time. But let's pray, and let's have the ushers come forward to receive, partake of communion. Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for that work of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we do pray that this new year that has come upon us, we pray that you would strengthen us, that we would be firm in our faith. Lord, just as we are disciples or followers of Jesus Christ, I pray that we would never stop learning, as you've called us to be learners. Lord, that we would always be teachable, never thinking we know it all, and not really thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but we would think soberly, with sound judgment. And Lord, that we might use the gifts that you have given us, the gifts that we might be, maybe we're not so eloquent in our delivery, maybe we're not dynamic, but Lord, I pray that we might bubble over with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And even though our words and our charisma may be lacking, your word is never lacking. Lord, it goes out and it accomplishes all that it seeks to do and fulfill. And so, Lord, I pray that for Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake, Lord, you'd use us in a great way in this new year, this new decade that we've come into. And I do pray for those that might be here that have never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I just think back, Lord, it kind of in my mind right now, I have a picture of me sitting in my Volkswagen van with my buddy on the other side in the passenger seat, and this fella, we parked there down in Waikiki, right by this hotel, and watching people go by, and this guy with a guitar on his shoulder came by, and my friend said, that guy's a Christian. In my weird thinking, I thought Christians look cool, kind of out of touch. He didn't look out of touch. And I called him over, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm singing songs about Jesus and telling him what he's done in my life. And I challenged him. I said, well, what has he done? And he told me that he's come into my heart, and he's changed me from the inside out. And that rung such a chord in me, because I was always trying to get this whole spiritual vibe, this spiritual atmosphere, whatever it was, this outward cosmic consciousness, all that garbage that came from the New Age and transcendental meditation and yoga and all this stuff. And it was, to me, it was kind of a mystery. It would be supernatural for God to come inside of you, change you from the inside out. And I said, well, what do I have to do? Almost as a challenge. Because I didn't want to stop doing the 10 things that I wanted to do most and start doing the 10 things that I didn't want to do, which were religious things. And he said, well, just pray a prayer and invite Christ into your heart. And I did. And the Lord, from that point on, he began to lead me and guide me into things in his way. And I must have done that in different genres, in different areas, in different services, and with people a number of different times, but God began to get a hold of my life, change me from the inside out. And the Bible, the words of the Bible just began to jump off the pages. And I realized I'm in the Bible. This is what God has for me. And that's what you can have this morning by just opening your heart and asking Christ to come in and change you from the inside out. To just ask Him to be your Lord, your Savior, because He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's our heart's door. He says, "If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, open their heart to me, I will come into them and fellowship with them and they with me." And the greatest change that takes place is Christ in us. And we're fellowshipping with Him. We're communing with Him through His Word and by His Spirit. And there's where the change comes. It's almost like osmosis. It happens from the inside out. As we just talk with Him, as we meditate on His Word, and as those words become real to us, they become life to us. And so if you want that, I want you to pray this prayer after me. You can say it quietly. You can say it silently, but you need to mean it. You need to want to repent, or that means turn from sin. Turn from running from God and turn to Him this morning and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for dying on the cross for me, for shedding Your blood that I could be forgiven. And I want to be forgiven of my sins and my wayward life. I've hurt You. I've hurt others. I've hurt myself. And Lord, I repent. I turn from those sins and I turn to You this morning. I thank You for shedding Your blood that allows my sins to be forgiven. So I accept You this morning as my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my friend. And I pray that I never turn away from You, but I know You more and more from this day on, and that I love You and love Your Word more and more from this day on. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen."
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 18, titled Mighty in the Scriptures. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.